Hello, and welcome back to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ, it's great to have you with me today. Before I get to the rest of today's episode, I'd like to, as usual, give a nice quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You know, Corset 2021 is right around the corner. So whether you're looking for some sweet new singles from Corset 2021 or some sweet, sweet sealed product, definitely go to your local game store first to buy all your merchandise, because all of that money stays in your local economy and helps gamers just like you. You can find Guardian Games at ggportland.com. On today's episode, I'm going to be trying something completely different that I'm calling the Triple Threat Challenge. Now, you might be asking yourself, hey, MJ, what exactly is the Triple Threat Challenge? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Triple Threat Challenge stems from something that I found very interesting on the MTG Twitter over the last couple of weeks, say about a month ago, and it was an interesting challenge trying to get people to look at three random cards using the random card feature on the Scryfall website, scryfall.com, and trying to build a cohesive deck around those three cards in whatever wacky fashion you could figure out. So I wanted to try that on for myself, and I've definitely wanted to try to do that, not only because I just really enjoy working with funky decks and funky cards that weren't necessarily meant to work together, but also because I'm sure it'll lead to a whole lot of really funny, hijinky-type decks that are just fun to play. So definitely sit back, relax, and enjoy this really janky deck that I built using Scryfall. Before I begin, I want to explain a couple of the ground rules that I set for myself for the Triple Threat Challenge. The first rule was that if I did get any sort of really random cards that had absolutely no synergy with the other cards whatsoever, that I just could not find a way to be able to use it, I ditched that card and I used the random card generator to generate a new card that hopefully would work better with the other two. The second ground rule was to remove lands. While doing the work for this episode, the random card generator spat out a basic forest, for instance, and while green is one of the colors in the deck that I'll be presenting to you today, it just really wouldn't work because it doesn't bring anything to the deck on its own. So for this purpose, I have omitted all lands. And a third thing is I'm trying to keep these decks to only one, two, or three colors each. Once you go past three colors, it starts becoming a little bit difficult to be able to determine a really good direction for the deck to go in, so I wanted to keep things simple. So the deck you're about to see consisted of two colors, and I made sure to omit another card that came in the third slot that I didn't really feel fit in the deck and would have pushed me into three or four colors, which I didn't want to do. So I wanted to keep this simple, and that's just the way it ended up being. The first card I got for the challenge was an uncommon from all the way back in the Mercadian Masks set, called Silverglade Pathfinder. She's a 1-1 Dryad Spellshaper who costs 1 and a green, and her activated ability is costs 1, a green, and tapping her, along with an additional cost of discarding a card. This allows you to search your library for a basic land card and put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. My first impression was this definitely looked like a piece of ramp. And not only is green my favorite color in EDH, but I'm really excited to be able to have this kind of ramp on a stick, especially something that forces me to discard a card, which can lead to some pretty powerful graveyard strategies. So that's definitely something that I took into the next card that's something I wanted to look at further. The second card I got for the challenge was an uncommon from Torment called Cleansing Meditation, a sorcery for 1 white-white. And it reads, destroy all enchantments. And it has threshold. So if you have 7 or more cards in your graveyard at the time you resolve Cleansing Meditation, instead destroy all enchantments, then return all cards in your graveyard destroyed this way to the battlefield. I've really found something interesting with this card because it really works well with the Pathfinder, because if you use the Pathfinder to be able to ramp on the early turns, and then you start playing enchantments after that, you start seeing this synergy where you're pretty easily able to get 7 cards or more in your graveyard through using the Pathfinder, and then you're going to be able to not only destroy all of your opponent's enchantments, which can be extremely powerful on their side of the field, but you can bring all of your enchantments back from the graveyard that were destroyed in this manner. So not is it only a great way to be able to really mess with your opponent's Rhystic Study, or a lot of those really annoying enchantments of Phyrexian Arena, let's say, allowing them to draw cards, you're able to just say, I'm going to destroy those, but I can bring all of my enchantments back. So this was definitely something that I feel had a lot of synergy with the Pathfinder. The third card I got for the Triple Threat Challenge was much, much, much different from the other two. Unlike the other two cards, which were only printed once and have never gotten a full reprint, this one has gotten many, many reprints over the years. And that card is Ashnod's Altar. It's an artifact that costs 3, and it reads, sacrifice a creature, add colorless, colorless to your mana pool. This is often seen as a very key cog in a lot of aristocrat strategies, and it definitely seems to hint that this deck, which looks like it'll be a Selesnya deck of some sort, should have some interesting graveyard and sacrifice synergies. So that was definitely something that I wanted to be able to look into for this deck. I found choosing the commander for this deck actually rather simple, given the strong graveyard and sacrifice synergies. So I went with Asmira, Holy Avenger, a rare from the Mirage set. She is a 2/3 legendary human cleric who costs 2, a green, and a white, and she has flying, and at the end of each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Asmira, Holy Avenger, for each creature put into your graveyard from play that turn. So Asmira can get very, very large the more creatures we sacrifice every turn, and her flying ability will make it much more difficult for our opponents to be able to block her. So this definitely lends to our strategy to try to be able to utilize the altar to be able to get a whole bunch of mana, to not only be able to play a whole bunch of really goofy, big costed spells, but we're also going to be able to make our commander grow extremely large over time. So that's definitely something that we are going to look to want to do. Before I get to the rest of the deck, I'm going to quickly go over the 4 goals that this deck is going to try to achieve. First, we're going to try to ramp using the Pathfinder along with other ramp cards, and then we're going to be able to utilize its ability to keep chewing through our deck and throwing cards in our graveyard to be able to achieve Threshold. Second, we're going to use a bunch of low-cost enchantments with ETBs that can be sacrificed and brought back by Cleansing Meditation for double the value. Third, we're going to try to build a token theme along with the life gain sub-theme, and then be able to utilize these tokens as fodder for the Ashnod's Altar to be able to cast big spells. And fourth, we're going to be able to utilize our commander for immediate lethal strikes, using commander damage if absolutely necessary. Once we've used our ramp package, including the Pathfinder, to be able to start getting a whole bunch of mana on our side of the field, we're going to want a whole bunch of low-cost enchantments that we can then sacrifice and get double the value off of with Cleansing Meditation, as long as we have Threshold. These include both cartouches in our color, the Cartouche of Solidarity and the Cartouche of Strength. We're going to want a Legion's Landing, which allows us to get a 1/1 vampire token on the battlefield when it ETBs, and it also transforms into a Danto the First Fort, which we can tap for 4 to give us additional tokens later on the game. We're going to want the Oath of Ajani, which allows us to put a 1/1 counter on each creature we control, which is especially important once we get a whole bunch of tokens on the field. And the Oath of Gideon also allows us to put 2 1/1 tokens on the field. Something interesting I found was that I was going to be able to add Omen of the Hunt and Omen of the Sea, both cards from the new Theros Beyond Death sequence. And these are important because both of them have flash and can be put into the graveyard and destroyed by Cleansing Meditation at instant speed, in which case we can then activate them again to be able to get their effects. There were also a couple of other interesting enchantments that I wanted to look at with this deck, including Consulate Surveillance, which gives us 4 energy counters when it ETBs, and if we pay 2 energy counters while it's out on the battlefield, we're able to give our permanents protection from a color until end of turn. And another interesting one was Crop Sigil, which is an enchantment for just a green that helps us load up the graveyard and then be able to get value out of our graveyard when we need it. There also are a couple of important enchantment creatures that we're going to want to be able to utilize in this deck, including Humbler of Mortals, which allows us to give all of our other creatures trample until end of turn when it ETBs. And Nylea's Colossus, which allows us to give a target creature double the power and double the toughness until the end of the turn. We're also going to want some extremely interesting utility enchantments, and these include Solitary Confinement and Ghostly Prison to dissuade our opponents from attacking us without having to pay additional mana for each creature doing so. We're also going to want Martyr's Bond, which costs 4 and white-white, and allows us every time we sacrifice a permanent or lose a permanent, each opponent is going to have to also sacrifice a permanent of the same permanent type, as well as Starfield of Nyx, which allows us to return enchantments from our graveyard to our hand to be able to utilize them again. But we're not only going to win by utilizing enchantments. We're also going to need a whole bunch of tokens and some creatures that are going to be able to give us life each time we have a creature enter the battlefield. Some of the token generators that I identified for this deck that would be very good include Geist Honored Monk, which allows us to bring 2/1/1 spirit tokens onto the battlefield when it ETBs, as well as 2 sorceries, Secure the Wastes, which allows us to get a whole bunch of tokens out on the battlefield, as well as Nomad's Assembly, which gives us a creature token for each creature we already have on the battlefield, and it exiles itself, and we're able to utilize it on our upkeep on our next turn without having to pay its mana cost. So this is a really good way to be able to get a whole bunch of creatures onto the field really fast. And we're going to get a whole lot of value off of these creatures by utilizing some of our life gain all-stars. These include the new Daxos Blessed by the Sun from the Theros Beyond Death set, Soul's Attendant, and Impassioned Orator. The value creatures that we're going to have in this deck include Sun Titan, which, when it ETBs, allows us to bring a card with converted mana cost 3 or less back from our graveyard directly to the battlefield, as well as when it attacks. We're also going to want a Courser of Kruphix to be able to play lands off the top of our deck and also know exactly what is on the top of our deck. We're going to want something like Tragic Poet, which we can tap and sacrifice to get an enchantment out of our graveyard directly. And we're also going to want a valuable card like Destiny Spinner, again from Theros Beyond Death, which allows us to not have to worry about our creatures or our enchantments getting countered by our opponents. And I also threw in one of my favorite cards, Golgari Raiders. So again, since the Pathfinder ends up tossing a card in the bin every time we search for a basic land card, we can throw a whole bunch of creature cards in our graveyard that then we can soup up the Golgari Raiders for a giant strike. We're also going to need some very good instants and sorceries to ensure that our opponents don't prevent our strategies from working. This is going to include excellent spot removals, such as Path to Exile and Swords to Plowshares, but it's also going to be important to be able to utilize Dusk to Dawn, with the Dusk side allowing us to destroy all creatures with power 4 or greater, and then the Dawn side, which we can cast from our graveyard to bring all of our creatures with power 3 or less back to the battlefield directly. We're also going to want cards to be able to get cards back from our graveyard directly, such as Nostalgic Dreams, which allows us to discard cards to bring cards back from our graveyard, and Reap. And now, Reap is an excellent card if you're playing against a player or a players who have a whole lot of black permanents. Unfortunately, this is not going to work well in all games, but since most tables will have someone playing black, you can pretty much get really good value off of Reap. Lastly, we're going to need some very powerful artifacts to make sure that our most important pieces don't get taken off the board, which is especially important for our commander, who, if we do want to use her as a Voltron strategy, is going to need to be able to get through for 21 damage unbothered. These artifacts are going to include the usual Swiftfoot Boots to provide her Hexproof, Lightning Greaves, which will give her haste, and Shroud, which is not as nice as the boots, obviously, but is still pretty damn good. And we would also like something like Whispersilk Cloak, which will allow our commander to be unblockable, as well as to have Shroud. There's also another card I wanted to bring up before we end today that I think would go great in this deck. I think Calyx Destiny's Hand, the new Planeswalker out of the Theros Beyond Death set, who in green and white allows us to find cards off the top of our graveyard, takes out other players' enchantments using his -3 ability, and his ultimate allows us to bring all of the enchantments from our graveyard back to the battlefield, which is just like Cleansing Meditation, but we can hopefully use it more than once because Calyx will hopefully be out enough turns for us to really be able to get good value off of him. We're also going to want some really good win conditions, and there are going to be at least 2 in this deck that I'm going to identify. The first one is going to be Cathar's Crusade. It's an enchantment for 3 white-white, and it reads that whenever a creature enters the battlefield under our control, we can put a +1/+1 counter on each other creature we control. So with all the token synergies we have in this deck, we should be able to build a small army and make them huge to then be able to make an alpha strike against our opponents. Also, we're going to be able to want to utilize a sorcery named Stormherd, which costs 8 white-white. And it reads that we are going to be able to create X 1/1 white Pegasus creature tokens, where X is our life total. Given the fact that we've been creating tokens throughout the game and gaining life every time a creature enters the battlefield using some of our all-stars, we should be able to create somewhere in the range of 40 to 60 Pegasus creature tokens in one fell swoop at this point, and then we could always utilize them to attack our opponents or to protect our life total, whatever is needed. So now I'll throw it out to you, the listener. What did you think of my deck that I constructed? Would you build this as a Selesnya Enchantress / Aristocrats deck, or would you build it completely differently than I did? Please leave a comment below. Also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to my channel on YouTube. You can also find me on Twitter at @MTGInQuarantine. Well, that wraps up this episode. My name's MJ, thank you for hanging out with me, and have a good one.